We have one caller already from Australia, so I'll take that now. He's on the line. Is it Alan in Australia?
Oh, g'day, Alan.
How are you doing?
Yeah, good, thanks. I just wanted to ask you a question about the higher states of consciousness that are described by various mystics and gurus throughout the New Age and Eastern philosophy and even the psychedelic movement. I was wondering if you could perhaps shed some light on your thoughts on that as to the source of and nature of that experience?
Well, I don't really go into the New Age because I know it's promoted. It's been given the go-ahead to be promoted from the 60s onwards. And there's so many con men out there, and they tie it in again with saving Mother Earth and so on. It's all wrapped into, again, the program of eugenics and depopulation and putting nature above man. But all you can do in your lifetime is go by your own experience, no one else's experience, because you are the microcosm. And the old mystics used to always tell people, you are the microcosm, and the first thing they do is join a group to find out what's already gone before, what the majority are into. If you do that, you're lost. You're being used. You're being used right away, because only you can get the experience. And if you try to get it through drugs or anything else, you'll never have an experience that will make sense to you. The experience that you have, even in ancient times, had to be logical. It had to bring you to a state of consciousness. Once it was over and gone, that consciousness stayed with you every single minute of every single day. You didn't have to take drugs or bend your ankles around your neck to get that experience back again, or do shallow breathing until you create your acidosis in your bloodstream. Then you're lightheaded. This is so you, only your experiences matter. No one else's. And that's really what they used to call the spiritual experience. And often the person wouldn't know why it hit them, why they had it. When they said, well, why am I different, etc. Some occasionally went seeking. Some were hermits. They literally isolated themselves from everyone else. And so they did a lot more thinking for themselves. That's the key to it. You will not get your breakthrough from the indoctrination that you have, and you have been indoctrinated from birth. You will not break through until you cut the world off and you start thinking for the first time for yourself and using your own perceptions and logic.
Okay.
Only then will you get to the answer for yourself, and that's all that matters.
Okay, because as an experience, it's something that was heavily pushed during the 60s, during the whole psychedelic movement.
Yeah.
And you had characters like Timothy Leary. And,
oh, yeah, who worked for the CIA, that's admitted now.
Yeah, sure. And also guys like Richard Alpert, who later moved to India and found himself a guru and changed his name to Ram Dass and then came back and started promoting the Indian philosophy or religion.
That's right.
So so you're saying that it is... Even what they're describing as a higher state of consciousness is a genuine experience.
You can create an atmosphere even through basic crowd hypnosis and give people experiences, but it's not a higher experience. It's different. And they might think it's higher for them, but it's not. It's simply a matter of almost remote control. It's quite easily done. And you create the setting which you're expecting to see, that type of Eastern setting, the person who knows how to command in front of an audience, plus everyone who attends is already, they're willing subjects, so they're easily hypnotized. The person who's hypnotized must believe in the master.
Okay. So do you think that techniques such as meditation and yoga are actually a form of hypnosis?
Oh, they are, hypnosis. In fact, the Western world for a while taught the self-hypnosis to attain the same kind of experiences, the feelings relief or calmness that some experience through yoga.
Okay.
Hold on, and we'll go into it after this break. Hi, folks. I'm Alan Watt, cutting through the matrix, and we're talking to Alan from Australia, who is talking about the various Eastern philosophies that were introduced into the Western world from the 60s onwards, pushed really by the Beatles, Timothy O'Leary, which again itself is an Illuminati name. I don't know if you realize that name itself is purely high Masonic and probably not real. Blavatsky talked about the creation or the bringing together of the religion of India with Christianity to create a new world system, a new religion. And this has been pushed by the big boys who run the world, and Maurice Strong, who works for Rockefeller, and the United Nations, too, that pushes the Baha'i and all the rest of it. This was set up a long time ago in the 1880s to bring it to fruition for today. And when you see such a majority of Western women running off to yoga classes, thinking it's all about exercises, and they haven't a clue of the origins of yoga and what its real intent is, until they go up to higher meditation, and what you're really doing is channeling. You're channeling entities. The whole idea of yoga was to bypass reincarnation so you won't have to come back again, but you take on the forms of all these different gods, which some other religions, including their own, will call demons too. That's quite something. You're into a religion big time. And when they start selling you philosophies on how to think and how to think about different things, a whole format of religion, well, you're in trouble if you don't realize you're in a religion. You're being indoctrinated, and someone else is pulling your strings. This is a part of the global agenda. Now, Khrushchev, back in the 60s, he set up a special team in the KGB, and their job was to go around the Western world monitoring to see if all of these gurus that were sent over from India and the New Age religion was taking off, and how it was affecting the culture and society. Because it was known at the time that they'd eventually blend with the Western world into this new world order, and they needed a new world religion to guide us all into it. And with it all comes, again, eugenics, and too many people in saving Mother Earth, forced sterilization, all that kind of stuff. That's what comes into all this eventually. All these roads lead to the same road. They all join together. And it's a road to hell, to be honest with you. Utter hell on Earth as this agenda steamrolls forward. But you must have a pretty well stupefied population to control and take along that road, and you do it by the creation of this particular New Age religion, which is coupled with no rights or wrongs. It's moral relativism. Therefore, there's no right or wrong. Right and wrong is only a human judgment. Good and bad is just a human judgment on events. That will say that something benefits from every act, even the bad acts. Therefore, nothing is technically ever wrong. They can start killing you off, and that won't be wrong either. And you won't even care about it, because it's, after all, it's moral relativity. That's how your mind is controlled, you see.
Sorry, I've just got one more question for you, and then I'll let someone else have a crack. You've spoken before about the English language being a form of programming itself.
Yeah.
So I was just wondering, as far as the awakening process goes, and if you can get past all the media bombardment and all the propaganda and all the sort of New Age sort of stuff, you're still left with this language which you use to think and you use to express yourself. Is that something that you somehow have to be able to go beyond to truly wake up?
You can go beyond it when you do know, and if you're lucky enough to have it happen naturally from birth onwards, where you can also think in pictures and sounds and so on. You have many other languages which we're taught not to even use. In fact, we're taught to ignore. Even intuition we're taught to ignore now and only go by what the experts give us as facts. Everything really is a language on its own, and when it all works together, you can certainly overcome the spoken word. The spoken word is the first con game, and that's why the Masons always talk in their lectures about how God spoke the world into existence. He meant all reality, the spoken word. And it's the same thing with Adam giving names to all the animals and so on. I've said this often. If you had a child and he asks what a tree is, when he first sees a tree, what is that? And you say a tree, he'll say tree, and that's the last time he'll ever think about it. The best answer is to say, what do you think it is? And simply listen to a ramble. You'll ramble on. But that's the natural way to do something.
Yeah,
everything is already created for us to follow. And that's the trap that we're into. Language, just like a computer, and they knew this many years ago, that we are basically computers in an extent in the conscious world. And the programmer who knows the language and the logic of that computer will know what the answer to a problem is before it's fed into that computer. We are the same. And that's how they use propaganda on the public today. We're fed streams of information. We process it in the way it's presented to us. And we will come out with the expected answer, which the guys at the top knew would have to arrive at. So that is the way that it works. It's plain and simple.
So, I mean, when you've had a lifetime of thinking and speaking or communicating using language, how do you break that? How can you go beyond it?
I think really the best way is to understand really what we're saying. We don't really. It's so full of I hate to even use the word Masonic, because Masonic is a later organization of a much earlier organization. That understood the creation of languages down through the ages. And you'll find every culture, too, is given a specific type of language for the purpose of that culture. I've had people from major think tanks who work for this New World Order who've discussed people like the Chinese and how their language was formed and for what kind of personality it's formed for their purpose. They're a mass man type of people who are very obedient to the system. The individuality is frowned upon, and they're given a specific language which reinforces that, all of that. The English language was created to get a practical, working, and war-based people on the go. Old English, prior to Bacon and Dee and others, really was a form of Germanic, Saxon type of language. If you look at the writings of Chaucer, the real writings, not the updated ones, there's many updated versions, but look at the original ones, most people wouldn't even understand it today because it's closer to German than any other tongue. And in the 1500s, with Shakespeare and the King James Bible at the same time for Britain, they introduced thousands upon thousands of new words, which became the English language, and they were taught at the universities to make sure that they'd go out into the populace and spread it. All the ministers were taught it and so on, and teachers. So that's how the language was done. And at the same time, they were upgrading the German language in a similar way through Luther, and they created Higher German from his rendition of the Bible. So they did this across Europe at the same time. Even France had changes. The French in Quebec is more 1500s based language, and it's different from the updated later French from France. So this was a major organized effort by those who already run the ancient world, or at least Europe, to change them and create a society for their functions for each one of them.
Okay. Oh, well, thanks for that, Alan. Thanks for your time.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah, thanks very much. Take care now.
Yeah, it's a deep
Bye-bye.
Subject, and it's very extensive. And I could certainly ramble on for a long, long time on language, and even teach the inner meanings of language as well. But I don't really have time now at the stage we're at in this world at the moment. And that's why I'm on the air trying to get it at least out to people and get them indignant about the basic things, the very basic things which are happening to them today.
Yeah, so with the language, in your first book, you offer a few keys on how to decipher a lot of words that we use nowadays.
Yeah,
so that's really good. So is it when you're saying to really understand what we're saying, is it that sort of analytical process that you're talking about?
You have to. I mean, even Timothy Leary is time of the Leary. That's what
okay.
It means. A Leary is the man who lit the flame on the gas lamppost in London before the electricity came in.
Yeah.
That's what a Leary is. And his job was to go out into the world and promulgate the beauty of getting yourself bombed out your mind with LSD. And he worked and has been declassified for the CIA. The CIA were the ones who promoted the drug use and so on throughout the Western world. And this was all to get the children, the youngsters, separated from their parents, which is very, very effective. That was part of the program. Along with the bringing in, again, the Beatles too, were told to go over to India and start promoting the Hindu philosophies.
Yeah, sure. I noticed with a lot of bands today, they're actually getting a lot darker and more kind of occultic. Kind of the same sort of thing that I guess the Beatles were doing, turning people on to Eastern philosophy and meditation, yoga, that sort of thing. But there seems to be there's a few bands around today that are really pushing the ideas and the work of Aleister Crowley.
Oh yeah, well, Aleister Crowley again worked for MI5 and MI6, and that's been announced now by Britain as well. They kept it quiet for years.
Okay, because I know he claimed to do so from the beginning.
Yes, there's no doubt about it. I mean, even during the World War, he was over in Germany being a propagandist for Germany, and after the war he wasn't imprisoned. You know?
Yeah.
He was allowed to come back into Britain and carry on with his life and run the OTO. And then he set up Parsons in the United States, who started off the Rocket Research Foundation, which became NASA. And he set off another couple of branches of Freemasonry in the United States to do with NASA even. So these guys are all connected, and you'll find that guys like Crowley, etc., literally work for the intelligence agency. I've met some people, even in Canada, who work for the federal government, who promote the New Age. Their job is to go around and promote the New Age. I've personally met them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've mentioned before that the OTO was responsible for culture creation. It was a branch of Freemasonry that was given that task.
Of getting the youth. It was to get the youth into this new way of thinking, yeah.
Do you know of any, perhaps, musicians or artists that are actually members of that organization?
Yeah, I certainly do.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I've heard rumors that David Bowie is a member, and certainly some of his early stuff. He does sing about the Golden Dawn and Aleister Crowley. Jimmy Page from Led Zeppelin.
Mm-hmm.
And then modern day bands, there's a band called Tool who openly admit to being part of the OTO.
Yeah.
So there's a few of them out there. And,
even the big poets. See, it's not just that. It's anyone who affects your mentality, your mind, takes you off into dreamland, even into meditation, and even novelists and poets. I think it was Eliot that was, or maybe Yeats. It was Eliot or Yeats, but one of them was the head of the Golden Dawn for years.
Yeah, I think that was W.B. Yeats.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, these characters, this is still the same today. And I have books here now that are just coming out with stuff on the whole culture creation industry. And pretty well every novelist and every major poet even and artist was a member of getting a member at least of organizations being run by the CIA that's now declassified.